You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for listening and for subscribing. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here as always with David Rommel, and we are joined today by Duncan Smith, editor of AllYouCanHeat.com and experienced Detroit Pistons writer, which makes him a great guest to bring on today because the Heat will play the Pistons tonight in a game that will have playoff implications. The Pistons are firmly in the postseason, but are just a half game behind the Brooklyn Nets for the sixth seed. Miami, meanwhile, is fighting to make it as an eighth seed. Duncan, thanks for jumping on. What did you see from the Pistons the last time these teams played, and why were they able to beat the Heat?
It was around the time that the Pistons were really kind of coming together and gelling. They picked up some momentum a little bit before the trade deadline. I still haven't quite put my finger on exactly why everything started working for the Pistons when they did. I think the Heat were definitely kind of a victim of being in the wrong place at the wrong time, though, because you know, anytime a team with a few good players on it kind of lights it up all at the same time, there's usually only so much you can do, and that was really sort of the case when the Pistons and the Heat played last. I guess it was about 2.5-3 weeks ago, and you know, you're never really entirely sure what kind of effort or production or results you're going to get out of a Pistons game anytime, but that was definitely one of the more surprising games between the two teams. They always seem to be kind of close battles, so a blowout is not something the Pistons really do historically to anybody other than these last like month or so. So it caught me as off guard as probably anybody else, really.
So, I mean, that's one of the things I want to talk about is that this recent stretch where the Pistons have played really fun basketball, something that we haven't seen from them and probably something you haven't seen from them in quite some time. And, you know, obviously Blake Griffin playing at a high level, although I know his numbers have dropped off a little bit lately. But I'd say that the burst has mostly come from the improvement of Andre Drummond and maybe even a little bit from Reggie Jackson. That's not something that Wes likes to hear. He's not a fan of Reggie's. But I'm hoping you could speak a little bit about what's made Andre kind of click it to another level and why Jackson has played better. I know it's probably more tied to his health than anything else, but have you seen anything specific as to why they've all of a sudden become engaged, or is it just a fit alongside Blake where they kind of just complement each other well and are able to play their games more effectively?
Well, I think it's some of all of these things. Like, the fit is very important. You know, in past years when Drummond and Jackson were together, they were generally speaking, before the Blake trade, they were generally speaking the best two players on the roster. And you don't necessarily want like Reggie Jackson or Andre Drummond to be your best player every night. You know, you don't really want Reggie to be your second best player ever, basically.
I don't think you really want Reggie Jackson on the floor most of the time.
Easy, easy guy. It's been kind of a relearning process, honestly, because like, you know, 2 months ago, I thought Reggie was basically washed. Yeah. It was around that time that he just started hitting shots from all over the place. The pick and roll started working. You know, now with Reggie's ability to get by people off the dribble and the pick and roll, it made Drummond more deadly as well. So, historically speaking, when Reggie's playing well, it kind of opens up everything that Andre Drummond does best. They don't have to resort to basically wasted possessions in post-ups. They can run the pick and roll. When the ball is in Reggie or Blake's hand, they can run Dre off cuts to the basket. And he's just been a lot more potent at all of these things. Even the post-ups, when he does get the ball in the post, he's getting it deeper. He's getting it in a more favorable spot for him rather than like these 9-foot turnaround fadeaway over the wrong shoulder hook shots that he's kind of famous for in the post. He's just like a much more deadly finisher around the basket as a result of just like getting closer position when he's got the ball in his hands. So I think a big part of why they're playing so well is that Reggie's healthy, probably the healthiest he's been since the playoff season in 15-16. He's got that bounce. He's got that pep in his step or whatever. His shot is falling, so teams kind of have to pick their poison when he's got the ball. Strangely enough, it just seems to be one of those things where, like, Reggie and Drummond are – they kind of bring out the best in each other when they're playing well.
I think a lot of our listeners are probably curious as to how one of their favorite players, Wayne Ellington, the man with the golden arm, as he was called in Miami, how he's fared with the Pistons. Obviously, he signed there after having been traded by the Heat. What have you seen from Wayne as far as strengths and weaknesses of his game, and how has he played overall?
Probably the main thing that I think that a lot of Pistons fans have noticed is that he is fearless when it comes to his shot selection. He takes a lot.
I can't tell if you're being positive or negative when you say that.
Well, it's not a bad thing. Sometimes you need a guy who can take a tough shot, and he's not afraid to take it, basically.
Right, because Heat fans would say that same thing about Dion Waiters, and it's more of in a negative context. So when people say that, my vision gets clouded. But
for sure, I can see how there'd be a parallel there, but it's a much better thing with Ellington than it would be with Dion Waiters.
Sure, that makes sense.
So he got off to kind of a cold start. Just from a simple like make or miss perspective. But I think he's kind of coming around. I'm looking at his numbers here to kind of confirm what I've been thinking, I've been seeing. And yeah, he's shooting a little bit better in his career average. He's shooting a little bit better, a little bit worse so far this season than he did in his Miami tenure. But mm-hmm. He's played like 300 minutes. He's played 12 games. That's not a huge sample, especially for something as volatile as three-pointers. And basically all he does is take threes, offensively speaking.
That's a good thing, trust me.
It is. Oh, yeah, I believe it. That three-point rate of 0.808 is spectacular.
So, Duncan, you recently took over the Heat site over at Fansided, allyoucanheat.com. We're going to ask you a little bit more about what that's been like coming from the outside in to cover a team with basically just like 20 games left. We'll talk about that after this break. The first weekend of the NCAA tournament is the greatest betting event of the year. Whether you like filling out a bracket, picking a national champion, predicting first-round upsets, or all of the above, MyBookie is the perfect home for your March Madness fun. Will Zion Williamson and his teammates cement their legacy at Duke with a title? Can Virginia get past its loss to a 16 seed last year? And can Kentucky get back to the Final Four? If you know the answers, or even if you don't know the answers, MyBookie is the place to get in on the action. They have something for everybody, and I'm talking about you, multiple bracket guy. MyBookie has been in business for years. Their goal is to give you the very best customer service in the business, and the best part is they pay out fast when you win. I'm talking within 48 hours, folks. Bet with the best, then kick back and enjoy March Madness while you watch your picks cash in. Deposit with MyBookie today with promo code LOCKEDONNBA for a 50% sign-up bonus. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA for a 50% sign-up bonus. With MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Duncan, congrats on the new position, running All You Can Heat. It's a great site. I just be kind to it. I know you've had to do a lot of research and catching up on the Heat when you took over, but what has surprised you or just jumped out to you in general the most during that process of sort of this catch-up?
One thing that has really caught my eye, I'll start negative then go positive. And not even necessarily negative, but just concerning, I guess. And that is the three-pointers they've allowed. There's basically been like two games in my tenure covering the Heat now. It's a very new position. Against the Cavs and the Raptors, I believe they set franchise records.
Oh, so it's your fault. Because we were asked about that in our mailbag earlier in the week, why they were doing it, and David and I gave all these answers about, like, maybe it's the zone defense, they're giving up a bunch of threes from the corner, but really it's ever since you started writing about the Heat, their three-point defense got worse, so we could just blame it on you?
Man, I am the easiest common denominator here. Like, I don't think anything but that has changed. So until proven otherwise, the Pistons are a team right now that might set another franchise record in threes. I, I wouldn't expect it. They're probably going to hit four tomorrow, or tonight rather. Yeah, so far it looks like it's me. I had a couple of I've got a fairly small sample of actual recent games to look at, other than going back over film. And what I've seen, it kind of makes me wonder if teams are working a little bit harder to get those corner threes because they expect that they'll be able to get it against this Heat defense. My guess, in a piece that I wrote over the weekend, was that it came from maybe some lack of like rotational cohesion, just because the rotation has kind of gone through some upheaval in the last seven or eight games maybe.
Yeah.
But I think Wes, you suggested that it was largely because of the zone, and they're just not closing off the corners very well when they're defending in the zone. So, you know, either way, it's probably closer to what you suggest than my guess, because I really am just kind of spitballing. That's something that kind of catches my eye, and it's definitely it's probably going to be the number one thing on defense, at least, that that I'm watching. As far as like a positive, I think that the new young starting lineup is it's a pretty cool, fun lineup. I don't know how successful we can expect it to be long term, but I think Justice Winslow running the point is a fun idea. Maybe you can shed light onto whether that's way off base or right or wrong or whatever. I think Bam starting at center is cool. There are some young guys on this team that I think are interesting, you know. And I'm prepared to be surprised, whether good or bad, with how exciting they are or whatever. I think that there are some really interesting elements on this team, and that was something I didn't necessarily expect when I jumped on. Because the Heat are not really a team that they're kind of out of sight, out of mind in a way. They're not in the same division. If there's any real rivalry, there hasn't been anything between the Pistons since prime Dwayne Wade days before LeBron came. It's been just sort of like a series of minor little things, I think, that I've been learning and noticing, and it's been kind of fun. It's been a while since I've dived into a team sort of to this degree.
Yeah, I mean, I've when I heard that you had taken over the site, my first thing was, I reached out to you to try and help and see if you might need any additional information, because it's so hard, at least from my perspective, to know the kind of nuances of what a fan base thinks of the team. And yeah, you can just analyze what happens on the court, but it kind of lacks context. Have you found that to be a difficult thing, not knowing how, you know, fans that have followed this team for years, even before the Big Three era, how they view this team? Like, one of the arguments that we have a lot is, you know, within Heat Twitter, that this team is kind of lacking a superstar and doesn't have, as a franchise, a clear direction. And you know, whether or not a large swath of the fan base thinks that this season, and I'm looking at Wes, should have probably have tanked this season and gone for a top five pick and you know, kind of rebuild that way. Whereas I thought they were a playoff team, and I'm still thinking that they are going to make the playoffs at some point. And, how do you kind of juggle all those little nuances and try to kind of add it and film, you know, form your own context as to how this team moves forward? Because, again, there are so many issues and so many conflicting views about this team, some positive and some not so positive. And so how have you found that to be a struggle in taking over this position?
Well, I'm sure that at times it will be. I expect I'm probably going to be wrong a fair amount for a while about, you know, some assumptions that I'm going to make here and there. But at the same time, like, a lot of what you describe with the Heat is something that I'm very familiar with the Pistons.
Yeah.
Like, even right now, there's a wing of Pistons Twitter that would love to see the Pistons tank. They're the sixth seed, the seventh seed in the East. And, like, there's a non-zero percentage of Pistons fans that would, like, roll, like, just throw their hands up in joy if the Pistons, like, came out and announced they are going to intentionally lose the rest of their games this season, you know?
So should the Heat tank? Where are you right now?
No!
They shouldn't tank.
No, it's too late. It's too late. I mean, you, with all the teams that are, like, firmly entrenched in planning to get that draft position, like,
don't know what you're talking about.
Lose out and you gain like 3% for a top four pick.
Yeah, Wes will never invite you back on the show again.
Yeah, that was the last. Yeah, you're done.
You failed your
look, all I'm saying is Miami is 31 wins. The ninth place Pelicans right now have 30 wins. The eighth place Wizards have 28 wins. We could still do it if we really set our mind to it. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like it's going to be the case. It looks like they're going to end up making the playoffs. But let's take a quick break here, and we'll talk about that playoff race a little bit more after this break. Before we wrap up here, I want to talk a little bit about the playoff race in the East. It looks like Detroit and Brooklyn have pulled away, so there's really just one spot up for grabs. And the Heat, as of now, are in possession of that 8th seed, but they have a really tough schedule down the stretch here. Duncan, who do you think ultimately gets in at that 8th spot?
I think I was looking at this last night, I believe, and I think the Heat have the most difficult of the three schedule remaining.
That's right.
Yes.
Is that right? Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be tough. It's nice that they're spotted this one game lead. And they've got two games in hand on the Magic and a game in hand on the Hornets, which could come in handy. You know, the Magic and Hornets could just, you know, take themselves out of the running, essentially. So I feel like you go with the incumbent. I think you go with the Heat because they are an eighth, and it's kind of their spot to take away. But, man, you'd feel a little bit better if you had, like, any tiebreaker at all. Like, having to actually beat out two teams in the standings when you're fairly evenly matched, I think, is going to be it could be tough.
David, what do you think about Orlando? Because I know you've been around them, and we don't really talk about the Magic on here because why would we? But I guess now is a good time. Do you think Orlando is? I mean, they're just like the Heat. Both teams are 5-5 in their last 10. What do you think the Magic are doing here down the stretch?
It's tough to say because I think one of the things that you look at that Magic team and much like Miami, perhaps with the exception of Dwayne Wade, I don't know that there's a clear emotional leader on that roster. I mean, they've kind of turned it around mostly due to Steve Clifford's positive influence and Nikola Vucevic having a really positive season. And they're getting some contribution from unexpected players, Terrence Ross, most notably. Even DJ Augustin is playing pretty well. I mean, he's not lighting it up or anything like that, but they're having a solid most of the night impact. Defensively, they're more engaged than they have been in years past, so I think that's great. But when you look at the composition of that roster, and again the veteran leadership that's somewhat lacking, and the years of struggling to kind of find an identity and having, you know, losing streaks kind of chip away at any kind of momentum that they gain on a year-to-year basis, I don't know that they have really the emotional fortitude to kind of lock in for this playoff. I don't know that obviously the playoffs are a goal for this team. I just don't know that they have what it takes to really lock in and say and recognize this is what it takes to make the playoffs. This is what we have to do. This is what we're going to do. And maybe Clifford can offer that. But even still, within the locker room, I don't know that they have that experienced voice to kind of get everybody galvanized for the playoff push.
Yeah, very much unlike the Heat, right, with Dwayne Wade and Udonis Haslam there. All right, quick 30-second TV takes. If the playoffs started today, Milwaukee would play the Heat in the first round, Toronto would play the Pistons in the first round, and Philadelphia would play Brooklyn. The other first-round series would be Indiana and Boston. But for the sake of the question, put the Indiana-Boston series aside. Of those other matchups, if you had to bet money on which one resulted in an upset, which one would you bet that money on? Duncan, you first.
I don't want to sound like a homer here, and I think that it's like super unlikely, but I think maybe the Pistons against the Raptors.
Wow.
Of those three. I think that's probably where I'd go.
What about you, David?
I don't know. I don't think there's any chance of
you
any.
You can't just say I don't know. You,
no, I'm working on my television pitch here, but I'm not doing a very good job of it. I just don't think any of those teams have a realistic chance.
None of us do. But you have to put money on one of them.
Well, damn it! Then I'll just follow the same path and go. You know what? Miami has the blueprint for stopping Giannis Antetokounmpo. James Johnson is finally going to let that throw up, and he's going to go out there and attack Antetokounmpo with a severity that we haven't seen from him in months. And he's going to lock him down, lock the MVP down completely, and Brooke Lopez has no answer for Bam Adebayo's, you know, anger and athleticism, and Miami finds a way to knock off the Bucks.
I like it. Well, just for the sake of consistency here, I'll go with Brooklyn over Philadelphia, just because I still don't trust Philadelphia. They kind of laid an egg in the second round last year. They had that easy kind of series win against the Heat in last year's playoffs. And I think Brooklyn has this ability between D'Angelo Russell and Joe Harris to just sort of like shoot their way, like just get hot and just shoot their way into a few wins. So maybe, you know, you do that on the road once or twice, you win a game at home, all of a sudden it's a real series. So I'd say if I had to put money on it, I'd say Brooklyn. But it's kind of, the reason I ask that is there's a pretty clear top five in the East, and it's just sort of everybody else is just like in the playoffs for some reason. They're just going to play more games than the other teams, but I don't think they're very much like a whole lot better than the other teams that are not going to make the playoffs. But
I'd like to ask one question to Duncan, because I know that there's a story about, you know, Blake Griffin and his struggles recently. Are you concerned at all about Blake holding up for the next, you know, some odd games and then in the playoffs as well? Because obviously his health is constantly an issue with him. Are you concerned at all?
Yeah, somewhat. I think that probably not getting an all-star break, essentially, is probably coming back to haunt him a little bit. I think that there's some real fatigue because, especially at least until the last like few weeks when Reggie and Andre have kind of taken off, they've really had to ride him. Basically, the offense until the last 6 weeks or so was give the ball to Blake and then have him go do stuff. Like, there was really very little else to it. So I think that there is some wear and tear setting in. You know, fortunately, there have been no, like, actual, like, he's not suffering from any actual injuries beyond fatigue and probably some bumps and bruises here and there. And I think that's a huge thing because, as you mentioned, you know, health is kind of a factor for him historically. So there is concern, definitely. I'm always concerned about the health of the guys on this roster because there always seems to be one thing that goes wrong at a terrible time. So I'm not going to feel safe or comfortable about any of that, that's for sure.
The Pistons and the Heat play tonight. You can read Duncan Smith over at allyoucanheat.com for his take on all things the Miami Heat. And, of course, you can listen to this show on all things Miami Heat. You can connect with us on Twitter at LockedOnHeat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Make sure to subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform, including Spotify. Rate, review, and say nice things about us. Check out our Patreon page for exclusive content that helps support this show. Thank you for spending some time with us today, and we'll catch you again tomorrow. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.
Thanks for joining us, Duncan.
My pleasure, guys.
Wrap it up, man.